welcome to the Brain Break Room. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Taylor, and today we have a long-awaited episode, long-awaited by me, maybe not anyone else, but I've been excited to talk about this topic for a while, and it has just taken some time to get it together, so it's very exciting. It is, are you ready? The Battle of the X's. Okay, so it has to do with sex chromosomes. It also has to do with calico cats. Yes, we're talking about mosaicism today, and we're going to talk about the scientists who discovered it, and hopefully you will gain some more insight into yourself if you happen to have at least two X chromosomes, and if not, the people around you that have two X chromosomes. So if you are at all curious why I am using this specific definition of two X chromosomes, please listen to Defining the Sexes episode. I think that'll be helpful. So without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, so normally when you talk about sex chromosomes, you are talking about, one, trying to define a full person's sex, or you're talking about sexual reproduction and gametes, so cells that just have one sex chromosome in it, and eventually, if they combine with another, fertilize, make a baby. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Schitt's Creek, so that was a little Moira Rose that slipped out there. But sex chromosomes are actually throughout your body as well. Every cell has a cute little copy of your sex chromosomes. And something that you may or may not have thought about is that if you have two X chromosomes, you have two copies of the same story. So I like to think of it. Okay, so I thought of this metaphor on my walk with my dog this morning. Kenny, yay, pet spotlight. I realize it's kind of like if you have two screenplays for the same movie. So if you are trying to make a movie with two screenplays, that might be very similar or the same in a lot of ways, but different in other ways, it would cause kind of complete chaos, which is why there is the Battle of the X's. So ultimately, in order to make a coherent movie, aka a coherent set of proteins to keep your cells up and running and functioning the way they should, you need to only use one copy of that screenplay. So how does your body decide which draft of the screenplay to read and to make the movie based on? That is where we come to the work of the one and only Dr. Mary Lyon. Okay, Dr. Mary Lyon was a real lion of the genetics field. She was from Norwich, England, born there in 1925, and she was a science nerd her entire life. She won Nature books in an essay competition at age 10 and got super, super interested in biology. She went to Cambridge at a time when there were only 500 women there and over 5,000 men. They took the same lectures, the same exams, but women at that time were not allowed to earn a quote-unquote real degree, so she got a titular degree in zoology. So, did all the same work, but got like a weird version of the degree because she was not a man, and it was the early 1940s. But she went on after that, did a PhD, then she did a postdoc, as scientists that are continuing to do their research do. And another interesting little note is that the kind of sexism did not stop with Cambridge, if you can imagine. So she was applying to different grant institutions to get money for her research, which is the same thing that I'm doing now as a postdoc. But only one of those institutions allowed women the same pay as men for the same work. So she ended up going with that institution. So that's just like another barrier that she faced while doing research. But during that time, with that sweet, sweet postdoc money from the institution that was willing to pay her what she deserved, she made a discovery. So at this time, people were really interested in the effects of radiation on our genome. This wasn't something that was really known, except we knew that radiation caused changes in the genes, which had some pretty devastating consequences at times. So that's why she was interested in this type of work. And she was working with little mice. And we knew at the time that female mammals only had one active X chromosome, but there was no real agreement as to how or when, which screenplay would be read when that was determined. And so Mary was working with these mice that had a specific kind of external phenotype. So there's this one gene on the X chromosome that if it had one variant, one message, then the mouse would be all like modeled on the outside. Not model, like fashion, vogue, but MOTTLED. So kind of different colors on the outside. And then if it had a different message, then it would not be modeled. And she found that this one male mouse had a mutation as an embryo that led to some of his offspring having this modeled phenotype and some of them not having that crazy pattern on the outside, which is odd because he had the crazy pattern on the outside. So you would think that he only had the modeled X chromosome to pass along, but he actually had another version of the X chromosome to pass along. And that is because he had a mutation when he was a little embryo. So Mary saw this, figured it all out based on this pattern of inheritance and with this mouse, and thought, hey, the same thing can be happening to the mice that have two X chromosomes. Maybe something similar is happening to make it so only one is red. And she did all kinds of work to prove that the following are true. Okay, so X inactivation, which got to be named after Mary Lyon because of all of her wonderful work. So lionization happens 2 hours after fertilization. So 2 hours after those gametes fuse together and start the process of bebe making. So two, it happens absolutely at random. And three, this pattern of which X's are going to be red and which one are not stays true all the way through adulthood. It's not like partway through cells switch which X chromosome is being read. I have very helpful hand gestures right now, at least to me, that you cannot see, which is unfortunate, but such is podcasting. So to give you some context, 2 hours after fertilization, there are anywhere between 10 and 30 cells. And it's when cells are categorized as interior or exterior. So there's a process after fertilization and cells are multiplying, and also cells get told, hey, you're going to be skin, or hey, you're going to be the stomach lining and that sort of thing. So which X is being read is happening very, very early on, even before cells get categorized to specific body parts or specific organs and that sort of thing. They're being just categorized as you're going to be on the inside of the body or you're going to be on the outside. Cool? Cool. Okay, so this was a really huge breakthrough because it set up our understanding of not only mice or cats, but it set up our understanding for people as well. Anyone with 2X chromosomes, which, like I referenced at the top, could be two X's, it could be XXY. As long as there are multiple X chromosomes, there needs to be some sort of battle of the X's. There needs to be, one needs to be shut down so you don't have these conflicting messages being read. So what happened with Mary Lyon? She did not win a Nobel, which is a bit of a controversy considering what a huge breakthrough this is. She was the 28th woman elected to the Royal Society in London, and she was a foreign associate for the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, which is wonderful. What kind of impact does her work have? What does this X inactivation process bring us today? Well, now we know that an inactive X chromosome marks itself for inactivation. So it's less as battle of the X's, which implies that one X is beating the other out. But it's actually the X chromosome that marks itself to be silenced. So it's like a screenplay redacting itself. So that the other one is read and produced instead. So really it brings on its own self-destruction, which sounds a wee bit dramatic, and I kind of like it. This has clinical implications. Hemophilia is hemorrhaging, that is excessive bleeding caused by a lack of coagulation factor, so the stuff in your blood that makes it kind of thicker and stick together instead of like running like water. Like blood is thicker than water. That's because of coagulation factors. Hemophilia is really interesting because the variant for it is on the X chromosome. And researchers have found that as long as you have an X that reads no hemophilia here in half your cells, that's enough to prevent disease. You'll be able to form clots. You won't have any of the problems that someone with full hemophilia has. Half of the cells. So half of the cells have this marker for hemophilia, but half do not. And so that's how, for instance, someone with two X chromosomes that could have one for hemophilia and one not, they are able to potentially not have any disease symptoms as long as at least half of their cells end up inactivating the hemophilia X and keeping the healthy X chromosome, which is super, super interesting. So that's just one example of when a disease is caused by some sort of variant, some sort of spelling mistake on an X chromosome. But whether or not someone actually ends up with symptoms or is sick depends on this X inactivation process, which is really interesting. There are several diseases that are related to sex chromosomes. And so it's really important that researchers understand this X inactivation, this lionization, so that they can better understand, for instance, things like hemophilia. And with that, oh, you know what? I was going to wrap up, but I owe you all a reference to Calico Cats, because we cannot have a mosaicism episode and not talk about Calico Cats. Okay. Many of you will know this. It is a beloved scientific tale. Tale because cats and tale because story. It's not even a story. It's just a really cool fact, right? That calico cats, you know, they have different patches of different colors on their fur. And it's because some of those cells are inactivating the X chromosome that has the gene for certain colors on it. So that's why calico cats are all female, which sounds wild. because it's just like a type of pattern. But they have to be because that's how the pattern is produced. The pattern is produced by some randomly, the cells in their body will express the one fur color X chromosome, and then some will express the other fur color X chromosome. So the calico cat pattern, the calico cat existence, only happens if the two X chromosomes that that cat has have messages coding for different colors. If they code for the same color, then you end up with a cat that's all one color, right? No matter which X is inactivated, you're still going to be reading as brown or orange or whatever. But if you have a calico cat, then you have one X coding for one color and one X coding for the other. In case you didn't know, that's why all calico cats are female. They all need to have two X chromosomes. And if you did know, there is some comfort with topics that kind of have a story like this to hear it again. Because what would a mosaicism episode be without discussion of our beloved calico cats? Not complete. That's what I think anyway. And with that, I'd like to thank you all for listening, for joining me once again in the Brain Break Room. I'd like to thank my pal, Brielle, who is a wonderful human and most relevant to this episode, a genetic counselor in training. And she has helped me think a lot about the best way to talk about genetic variants, genetic changes. And yes, please check out the show notes. Feel free to email me at brainbreakroompod@gmail.com. If you have episode thoughts, ideals. If you have episode ideals, please let me know. If you have episode question, comments, concerns, some topic you'd like to hear about, or just want to pop in to say hey, I'd love to hear from you. With that, I will see you next time in the Brain Break Room.